We should also do a disclaimer when we talk about Jupiter that you're involved in a lawsuit against the county with regard to how the industrial revenue bonds were approved, I guess would be the right word.
So, yes, I'm still part of that process, Project Jupiter. And actually, recently got a hold of some documents now and been out to the site, and it's dubbed also Project Miner.
It's got a new name.
Well,
I noticed they also had a new name for the entity, Acoma LLC, that applied for the state permission to basically put gas generating gas turbines in that will basically equal what we already do in New Mexico.
Right.
Which is, frankly, insane.
Right. It's incredibly significant, for sure.
But you've worked down in, you know, you've worked with Empowerment Congress extensively in the south part of the county. What's the feeling generally down there as you see it, and how do you think putting this huge thing in, aside from what it does to the atmosphere, which is appalling, how is it going to affect folks down there, positive or negative?
I mean, I think no matter where it would be constructed, right, it's going to affect the local community. I would say the response from the local community, people living in Santa Teresa and Sunland Park, is pretty muted, but that's because they don't know what's coming down, right? They have been sold the story that this project somehow is going to be of benefit to the community because of jobs and tax benefits and other businesses moving in and so forth. And of course, things have just started. But what, again, after visiting the site and talking to a handful of people that are working there at the site, nobody that I spoke to is from New Mexico. So we'll start there.
Why am I not surprised?
Right. Lots of out-of-state license plates.
What else did you learn from visiting the site?
Well, and it was missing the SWIP, which is...
I don't even know what that is.
I didn't know what that is either. So, right, I was being educated by other folks, right, who do construction and engineering. But it's basically a board where at the construction site, they need to have all of the permits that allow them to do the work that they're doing. So right now... it's really just about grading, right? So they're getting rid of all of the vegetation out in the desert that has, you know, existed for many, many years.
They don't need a permit for that.
Well, right. They do need a permit for that.
Well, so why are they doing it if they haven't got the permit up? Call Kim.
Good question.
You know, like the sheriff can go bust them.
Right. Good question. Well, we did speak to the site supervisor who said we do have permits. They're in our construction office. You just have to come by and get them.
I think they probably do.
Well, and then there was no construction trailer to right office to be found on site. And so we haven't gone back really to visit the location they gave us. But I was actually able to get, finally, to get some permits and documents through the county through an IPRA process. But it took a little while. I'm not sure, you know, it wasn't an extensive, you know, amount of documents. However, it does show, you know, that they had requests to grade the... that area of land. I guess... You know, and I haven't gone through all of it, I'm not an engineer. I've never done any sort of construction, right? A layperson. So trying to work with some expertise on trying to figure out when exactly they made this request. Because based on what we saw, they actually made this request prior to the public hearing. For the industrial revenue bonds. So, and I understand they didn't need it, right? They're doing construction on a private property. However, we made several requests for any documents related to this project and really just received the one application for the industrial revenue bond.
Well, county staff I mean, I'm not very happy with the commissioner's vote on Jupiter, with the exception of Susie Chaparro, who did the honorable thing and said, hey, I don't see all the documents I should see. I haven't been told a lot about this. I just got told about it recently. I'm not ready to vote on this, so no. Which the others ought to have done. And it's sad because they're, to the extent I know them, they're people I've generally been friendly with and supported.
Likewise, yeah.
But county staff in particular, and I'm the county manager, I think, is ambitious. I think the county business development person, I haven't had a chance to sit down one-on-one with her. Maybe I'll get a chance sometime and have lunch. But she has been so much an advocate for this thing and so either ignorant or unwilling to follow the Inspection of Public Records law and, you know, and I think the open meetings law, by giving these people documents, giving the commissioners documents that are marked secret, which the county then denied had happened. But since I had one in front of me, and I think Heath Hauseman, who's written a lot about this and written well about it, also did. And I think some others had seen them. They're given the commissioners, who are obligated to share documents with us except under certain narrow conditions, documents that say do not divulge, and tell them the commissioners don't give this to people. Not lawful. And then Heath, and again, this is secondhand, but he's a pretty reputable guy. He quoted the business development lady as saying, Well, the other thing about this is the more, once you get one, you bring more. Now, I'm hoping she doesn't mean more of these gargantuan. I'm pretty sure she thinks more other businesses.
Right.
But number one, we live in a desert where we're on borrowed time to begin with water and other problems. Bringing a hole, in a, you know, number two, that area is growing anyway, because of rail lines and trade and different things.
Yep.
And number three, she's probably wrong, because as I understand, these AI data campuses, they don't draw a lot of people. They don't have a lot of people working for them. Maintenance and a few, you know, somebody to take care of things if they break.
Right, yeah. Just some technical stuff and check this and check that. But, you know, I think the other thing... And in retrospect, I think this project, especially now considering that this Acoma company that came out of nowhere that applied for two microgrid air quality permits. So this idea of 750 permanent jobs, right? We were thinking, right, that it was just the data center. So it's four data centers and two really large scale. Yeah. Energy producing plants. So I guess in my mind, I was like, oh, actually, that does make sense. However, the real consequences, right? The real like human and environmental consequences were certainly being overshadowed by, you know, jobs for, you know, a few hundred people, which I think is, you know, unconscionable in particular. You're right, in that area. Especially because our water is in such a precarious position.
Right.
Yeah. And talking about rumors, right, the rumor also around, I mean, we owe water to Texas.
Right.
We certainly want to preserve the aquifer as much as we can. But if water is not going to come down through the river, from what I understand, there's this possibility. And then... farmers and what about water that we owe to another state? You know, like I said, it's such a precarious position. They, and then we decide to use water to cool data centers and, you know, evaporate.
In their defense, in
gas or plants.
By explanation, they do have a closed loop cooling system that's not totally experimental. It has been used somewhat. and that basically seems to put the water in once, and then it's in there for a very long time. But my fear is, you know, if something goes wrong, they're not going to say, oh, well, we'll stop for a while because
right.
they're human beings. they'll say, God, we got to get this water as fast as we can.
Right, yeah.
And if, you know, some poor person that you know, can barely make a living is suddenly going to have to pay four times as much for her water, well.
Yeah, well, if the water even is going to exist.
We got to do what we do.
Yeah. Well, no, and I'm glad you brought that up, Peter, because the closed-loop cooling system, again, is only to cool the data centers themselves. What about the water that is going to be used to produce the energy?
Good right? point.
And that's a whole lot more water, actually, than the data centers would require to cool mm-hmm. them down.
Yeah.
And where are they going to get that water, you know? And again, accessing our aquifer is, you know, puts us in a very dangerous situation, again, for our human health, yeah. for our environmental health. So all around, I think that the county jumped the gun. I think that there needs to be a whole lot more discernment on approvals of this nature, but even still for this project, because at this point, construction hasn't started. They're just cleared out the desert. You know, we can restore that. Nope.
Let me switch topics because we will get to this, I think, again with Steve. And
sounds
maybe
good.
Briefly with Joe. But nationally, I think I think we're all sad about Rob Reiner.
Mm.
I hadn't even thought about, you know, some of the movies he made you wouldn't normally associate with a guy who's basically a comic. I first saw him when he was in All in the Family as son-in-law of Archie Bunker, which was fun. Yeah, Meathead.
Hmm.
Very, very sad. He did a lot of wonderful things. And in my view, Donald Trump, who's obviously not a favorite character of mine, reached a new low. I know.
I don't know. I certainly didn't expect his comments, but
I just think it's
he's
a new,
been down pretty low for quite some time.
It's a new low, though perfectly symptomatic of everything or a lot of things we don't care for about him.
Yeah.
But here's somebody, two people tragically get knifed to death.
Yeah.
In California, and instead of saying, oh, that's sad, he's got to say, you know why they were killed? Because of Trump derangement syndrome, which even some Trump supporters I've talked to say, actually, Trump has Trump derangement syndrome. But, you know, he spread bad things about Donald Trump. So number one, as he always does, everything, whatever it might be, is about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And either somebody insulted him or somebody hasn't given him the respect they should or somebody hasn't given him the money they should or somebody criticized him, whatever.
Right.
And it's about Donald Trump, even if it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so ugly. And it was also saying, you know, it turned out, as most people probably know, that they're, I don't know whether it's their son or her son before they married their son, with whom he'd done a movie, and this guy was troubled and had drug issues and others, has been arrested for knifing them. Obviously, he hasn't been convicted yet. Probably didn't come from they had an argument, but it probably wasn't about Donald Trump. I'm going to hazard a guess.
Well, Trump would have you think so differently.
But, you know, think about it. I mean, if I criticize somebody, we criticize the count. But I won't even get that specific. But say there's a Metropolitan Development Commission here, and I criticize the public official there, and I get consequences.
Sort of harm, yeah.
And the public official says, well, he got that because he criticized me.
Yeah.
And doesn't say, but people shouldn't kill people over political criticism, which seems kind of basic, but it hasn't reached Donald Trump because he likes when people commit violence. Mm. He loved the January 6th bit, even though, you know, it was violent to our Capitol. I'm not that concerned about that. But it was violent to police who were there.
Yeah.
And very threatening to
legislators.
Our Congress people. And he just watched it and ate it up. And his family and his friends kept saying, you ought to say something. And, wow, look, they're honoring me.
Yeah.
I'm popular.
I'm popular.
Hello? You know, love to have somebody call in and explain it to me why it's okay to say what he said about a dead person. Frankly, though, I had made some comments on Facebook and I sent them to a couple of friends who are okay with Mr. Trump.
Mm.
And one of them said, you know, he's got Trump derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them who responded, others did not, but the two that responded both said, yeah, I happen to agree with some of his policies. You know, some of the things he does need to be done, but I'm not down for all his egotism. That's a negative. And, you know, that's a reasonable position that you and I don't probably share, and a lot of Republicans don't share. Anyway.
Well,
I haven't heard anybody try to defend what he said. I'd love to get a call.
Right.
To do that.
Well, right. Yeah, because I don't know how that can be defended, but I think even his chief of staff came out in Vanity Fair also, not Trump derangement syndrome, but that he had a personality of an alcoholic.
I saw the headline and I read a little bit of that.
And then I guess he confirmed it. He said, yeah, that's true sometimes that I'm like that, I guess, or something
well,
along
had
those
to
lines.
Deal with him. It's interesting.
And so the fact that she, you know, criticized him and then he said, yes, that's true, I thought was interesting. But also, again, and thus just telling, right? Telling of Donald Trump trying to spin everything, trying to show everything somehow in his favor, unless it's obviously extremely, you know, on the other side.
And it does run deeper than political calculation or even economic greed, both of which he certainly has no shortage of.
Right.
But it runs deeper. I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for anybody who grows up in the situation he did, where it's dog eat dog. Your father is basically, you know, what can you accomplish? What can you make? It's all about money. It's all about outdoing the other guy, even if he's your brother.
Mm.
And so he grew up in a nasty situation that made him a nasty person. Nasty is not a favorite word of mine, but it seems to apply there. You know, a person who could never be good enough for his father and therefore for himself. And then there was a whole thing about, well, the real money in Manhattan doesn't respect us because we're in Queens and building slums and whatever in Queens. And so, you know, it was a big deal for him to tell his father, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to make it in Manhattan. And then, you know, he got a lot of praise, I guess. But he also got a lot of laughter. He failed a lot of things, had a lot of enterprises go bankrupt, though, you know, he made out okay.
He became our president.
One of the key moments is one of the things anybody will notice about him is he's like a dog going around marking territory after another dog's been there. About Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of his experiences, you know, not too many years before he decided to, now I'm going to run for president, he was at a big public dinner in Manhattan, and Trump was Obama was speaking, and it was kind of a roast where people did this kind of thing anyway, but he made fun of Donald explicitly, and Donald was sitting there fuming and red-faced and all like that, and inside, I guess, saying, I'll show you. But whether the fact that Obama's black exacerbates that for Mr. Trump, given that they supposedly at his casinos, they used to, if he was actually coming to the casino, they'd get more of the black dealers off the floor because he didn't like to see so many. he's got his ideas about different people. Jews are for your money. Take care of your money. Anyway. Locally, we should note that the lead Sun News article was about something we're going to talk about, the doctor shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasizing not only the malpractice, and I'll say this, you know, when our guests are here, but not, I loathe both sides. The trial lawyers are a little, you know, yes, there are some arguments on their side that I share, that people should get fairly recompensed if some really bad thing happens, and particularly if it's bad conduct, not just bad luck, by the surgeon. But they have dissembled. They have this group about safety over profits, and they would not tell who their donors were until the and when the Ethics Commission said you really need to, they said screw you, or the legalistic equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do that until the Ethics Commission sued and it looked like they'd lose. Oh, here are our donors. They're all trial lawyers, some from out of state. What does that plaintiffs' trial lawyers? What does that tell you? So I'm not in league with them. On the other hand, the people criticizing them make it all about malpractice and capping the awards. And independent studies of why doctors leave, which is a national problem that we suffer more, has a lot to do with geography.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly, you know, the article today focuses on the GRT,
right,
which applies to, when I was a lawyer in California, we didn't charge clients GRT, and medical people certainly didn't, and they ought to remove it, at least as to medical folks here. And there are other steps they could take. And I am troubled by the governor putting malpractice on the call as opposed to dealing with our doctor shortage, which is a bigger problem that might involve steps she doesn't want to take. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Sun News had a nice article that quoted some local doctors, and it wasn't a Sun News article, but a source, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Article.
I hope we can. Yeah. I really hope we can dig into that. It's interesting, you know. and I'm, you know, I hate to tie this back. I know we just have a few more minutes, but just back to the what we were talking about at the top of the hour about the industrial revenue bonds. But, you know, those are tax incentives. And mm-hmm. so we gave these large corporations basically tax breaks to come in and build industry, right, to sort of somehow benefit. So I'm just curious, like, it's interesting that in our statutes, you know, and sort of conceptually that as a state we're willing to do that. However, we're going to sort of nickel and dime the everyday consumer, right, in terms mm-hmm. of medical needs and tax folks, you know, for, you know, going to see the doctor, you know, getting their eyes checked, you know, going to a dentist appointment.
Actually, I wanted to ask you, I know we're running out of time. Hopefully Joe Cervantes will be here soon. I don't see him yet. But what are you seeing down county in, the door is opening, down county in more rural areas of the county, what are you seeing in terms of people being able to see doctors just fine or not, or it costs a lot or what?
I definitely say that it costs more than people can afford. They don't have insurance. Mm-hmm. And if they do have insurance, they just don't have access because there's not facilities in the area, or they don't trust the facilities.
If they do have insurance, they ain't eating.
Right. Well,
or they won't be next year after the rates go up.
Right. No, and to be honest, most of the folks that we interact with, they go to El Paso. So in the southern part of the county, they go to El Paso for their medical services.
Parenthetically, some good news, a Republican did cross the aisle, and we need a couple more in the House to bring up the extending the help for people.
Absolutely.
On medical costs, insurance costs. a Republican cross the aisle and joined the discharge vote to at least bring this up, you know, for a fair vote, which Republican leadership has not done. So maybe there's some hope there.